Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's good to see you all again tonight. It's wonderful to worship God the way we have tonight on a Saturday night. I feel like this is the kind of night I could just worship all night. I mean that so much. I so feel it. We are in a season of the presence. The presence is again being poured out. And it's in this place. And I'm speaking prophetically, a Friday night service or a Saturday night service once a month, just for nothing but worship, will explode in this place. And people will be gathered in because God starts to work. Because we love Him. Miracles take place because of Him. We don't have to make miracles happen. He is in charge of miracles. But when people love the Lord, things begin to happen. And He's placing something in you. You just need to be so thrilled with that. I hardly know how to express myself tonight because I feel that sense of worship. And I sense a new love and passion that God is putting in His people. And you're going to see many young people come here that are going to be filled with the passion of God. We're beginning to see it in the city. We've called a Friday night worship time once a month. And they're coming from every direction just to love the Lord. And out of that group is the prayer group that's rising. You know what I shared to you last night about God will use another group. If one won't go with it, He'll get another group to go with it. Well, He doesn't reject the ones then that carried it all the way along, that were faithful. They'll get in on it, just like Caleb and Joshua. That's what you folks are about. God honored something very special tonight when you were given honor. It's not you, it's Jesus that's in you. And your very special gifts. When you say to me things like, I don't give up, or I'm not walking in discouragement, no matter what, you know, that is so true in you. It just oozes out of your giftings, both of you. It's a very special thing. Giftings are so powerful. And I just pray that you'll really honor others in their gifting, but also you'll know that God has put something in you. That He wants to cause you to have many years yet to bring this forth. And there's going to be a new joy that vibrates in your spirit. A new passion. And delight. God doesn't need a great group to bring a move of God. He's moving here. He just needs you. He needs you to love Him. Every song tonight is about our love toward Jesus. And it's more than songs. It comes from our hearts and our spirits. Alyssa, come up here, would you? Just stand with me here. Andrea, are you still here somewhere? John, come. There's something very special in the three of you. There's a gifting of true worship, of pureness in worship, of a tenderness in worship. There's an excitement that comes with that. And it's very special. The Lord wants to say tonight that He's going to use you in the humbleness of your spirit to touch many. And it's not far away. But it begins by you believing in who you are as you lead worship here. God wants to multiply it many, many times through you. But your gifts are special. It's so unique and so incredible. I sensed it last night and again tonight. And when I come, when John is leading in worship, it's awesome what's taking place. And God wants you tonight to believe in your gift. Because it has to do with your call. Every person in the kingdom of God is called. I'll be sharing it a little bit tonight. But we're called because His gift is in us. Jesus takes that gift and He plants it into you. And one of the weaknesses that so many walk in is that they don't believe it. They always wish their gift was something else. But you just have to be what you are. God's going to give you songs. I prophesy this in the name of Jesus. He's given you songs. He's given you harmony. There's going to be revelation with it so that the words that you speak in a worship time are going to be anointed with revelation. And people will receive it because it comes from God. So the gift of worship leading is not just singing. It's knowing when to say what God wants said. But it has to be the right words that God once said, or it can goof everything up. See, attention can move away from us, from God unto us. But God's going to give you clear revelation how to draw people to his presence. This is a special thing that God's doing in you. Just reach your hands out toward them, everybody. Father, we believe that their gifts that are so beautiful and tender will not be affected by the enemy in any way. The pureness of Jesus will prosper in them to bring your presence. And in that we will see the miracles of your power. We ask for your strength to be upon them tonight. May they mark this night, this miracle weekend, as a time when you have commissioned them. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. And I know that you're preparing greater things for them than ever before. May they believe in it in the depths of their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this might cost a little bit where you're going. But you know what I sensed in all that you as you've led? You know it costs. And you're not afraid of that. It may cost a little more time. But what's time compared to eternity and God's purposes? You're not fearful. And he builds in us because we're willing to pay the cost. So whatever it is, go for it, will you? Amen. Let's bless them all. We thank God for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lorraine, when you came into the meeting tonight and told me your dream, I felt that you needed to come here and tell us all. I felt it so strong in my heart because it's God speaking. He's speaking to us about the masses. Please share the part two about the numbers of people that you saw. Will you come quickly?
Actually, Pastor Ralph said someday I'd like you to share that. I didn't know when that was going to be. I had this dream a while back, and it was a prayer meeting night. I know it was because I was at the back, and that's usually I walk back and forth just in front of the sound booth. And Sarah was sitting at the soundboard, and I was worshiping the Lord, and I was kind of, I was worshiping the Lord. Anyway, Pastor Ralph came up the aisle to me, and he said, "Will you come with me? I want you to help me pray for somebody." So we made our way up the aisle, but it was kind of difficult to even get up the aisle. And when we came to the front, I said, "Look!" And there were, it's hard to say it anyway, there were people all laying on their faces worshiping the Lord on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was jam-packed with people. And we sort of stepped over people all the way along. There were some people over here praying for others. And when I turned around, I saw young people and old too, but young people, I can tell you who some of them were, way over there, and they were just, everyone was worshiping God. It was such an atmosphere. By the time I tried to get up the aisle, I lost Pastor Ralph. There were so many people, and that was the end of my dream. But it was just so vivid, and I know that's what God wants, and that's what he's going to do.
Amen. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. Bless you, Lord God. Well, whatever the Lord's doing and whatever is going to happen, I'm convinced we're going to be a part of it, right? Yes. We're not going to miss this one. I've determined that whatever God does, I'm going to be in on it. And if I have to stand up with young people at my age and act like them, I'm going to act like them. I'm going to have a great time and receive what God has for us. So God is doing good things. We just need to rejoice in it tonight. And I honor every one of you and your giftings because you're so important to God. We had made up the cards, in case some of you are here that weren't here last night or this morning. These are special cards that are made up, acts of faith, dare to believe. The thing the Lord spoke to me after Easter Sunday last weekend, knowing that we were coming here this weekend, was that he wanted us to bring to mind three miracles that we're believing for. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, he'll point out to you the three to believe for. As I said last night, there could be a lot more, but God wants you to believe for these three. And tomorrow night, we're going to put them whenever you bring them. Bring them whenever you've got them filled out, and we'll put them in the miracle chest. Everybody say the miracle chest. That's a good-looking chest. A miracle chest. And we're going to believe for God to do miracles in this house like never before. Now, they could be any kind of a miracle. I believe there's going to be financial miracles. Some of you have been believing for breakthrough in business for years. There's going to be things begin to happen, as you believe God. There's miracles of healing, and God's going to do tremendous things in our body, but there's other things that he wants to do for us. Dream big for God. This is what it's about. God wants people who believe that he's a big God. He's not a little God. He's not sitting in a little corner wanting to do a little thing. He wants to do a big thing. And he wants to do it in your life as you walk with him and trust him and praise him. So miracles are for us in this hour. It was just before the service tonight that Pastor Steve Fleming from Koinonia had called me, and he didn't know I was here in Jubilee. And I began to share with him. He asked me, well, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about miracles. And my spirit just was coming alive on the phone. And he hooked in with me right away. He started to pray, if you could imagine, that we would see the miracles that God is speaking to this house. And it'll all be fulfilled. This is a miracle weekend. This is another resurrection weekend. And we've gone from Friday to Saturday. And we're going to have a resurrection day tomorrow in the presence of God tomorrow night. And I would like you, the worship team, to even be thinking about just some praise songs or something. After it's all over, tomorrow night when we pray and believe for everybody, we're going to have a praise time in the presence of God, praising with faith, knowing that God answers what we're asking for. Now, I think this is very important for us right now. I want to take one of these myself with my wife, and we're going to be putting miracles that we're believing God for. Because God knows how big my heart is and what I believe for, even in our city. We're beginning to see some things by the grace of God. And with me, all my life, I haven't thought very small. I have a picture in our church. I always had it in my office. That just is it's a great big picture, about that big. Massive picture. And all it says on it in big letters is, God is big. God is big. And it always, always speaks to me about the things that God wants to do if we trust him. So miracles are for us. And I believe we're going to have a miracle breakthrough. Children that are of an age that they can understand, let them put some miracles down here too. I would like to see children out tomorrow night. I know it's a school day the next day, but this is a special time that I believe is really important for the church. So I'd like to see everybody involved in it. Maybe we'll have the children even pray with us a little bit and see what happens as the grace of God comes upon us. So let's fill these out. I think it's important for everybody to do it and not break the chain of belief. Right? Acts of faith. Dare to believe God, because everything comes because we trust him and believe him. Amen. So let's do that together. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about a subject that I'm calling putting the pieces together. Putting the pieces together. And firstly, I'd like you to read with me. How many have a King James Version? Or I could have put it up on the screen tonight, but why don't you stand with me? And as many of you have the Bible, read it aloud with me. Let's all stand together. And we'll... got it? Okay. New King James? How great you are. That's awesome. Okay, let's read this together, okay? Wrong scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 15 and 16. Okay. Okay, let's read it aloud. Good and loud, everybody. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body... joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And then verse 16. That is verse 16. Okay. Very good. Okay. Thank you. You can be seated. I then want to go to the beginning of the chapter and share with you some things as we go through it, because I believe that this particular word that God has given to us is the key to the pieces that need to come together for that scripture to be fulfilled. I believe that God has pointed this out to me, that the first part of the scripture and the last part of the chapter are really revelations of what will fulfill this word so that the church will be what it's meant to be, the fullness, that will be knit together the way that God wants us knit together. So God just didn't say this and show us that this is so important that the church is knit together to be all that Christ is without showing us what we need to do. And this is important that we see these principles and we understand it in God's word. It's going to help us even for tomorrow night, because God wants a unified response about miracles. We're going to be believing for, you'll believe for your miracles, but you won't only believe for your miracles, you'll believe for everybody else's miracles. And so we'll be doing it together. And it will be just exciting to you, I prophesy this, it'll be just exciting to you when you hear of someone else's miracle as it is when you hear of your own miracle. And this place is going to shout a big amen when we hear of all that God is doing and what God wants to bring forth in our lives. So he's looking for this unified work. We've heard this for a long time in the church, but at some point it's going to happen. And I've been saying, why not it happen at Jubilee? Because you've listened to the word for a long time, but it brings us to the place where the fullness of Christ, the perfect man, that's explained here in this chapter, begins to manifest. It has nothing to do with us other than that he uses us to be expressions of Jesus. But every gift must take its place. It's important for us to see that. And as I believe in my gift, I must believe in your gift. As these worship leaders believed in their gift tonight, those who are helping them up there must believe in their gift. And every gift will bring forth the glory of God. So, Father, we ask you to speak to us tonight and help us to understand this, and may there be a great release of the purpose of Jesus that's established in the fullness of the church in this place. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It was at Christmas time. For the first time, Pastor Elaine and myself decided that we would do a Christmas card by sending out a picture of our family. You know how everybody's doing that today. Nobody fills out Christmas cards too much anymore. So many people do a picture and send it out by email. You see it all over the place. So we decided we'd get a picture of our whole family. We wanted everybody in it, so we had all our children, and each of our children have three children, so we have six grandchildren. Wanted to put the whole thing together. I'd asked one of the pastors of our church that's very gifted in photography to come and take the pictures. So we arranged all of this in downtown Toronto, actually at a beautiful backyard where my daughter works, right down in the inner city, because she's become the director of this particular place, and she had access to this backyard that was very beautiful for us to come and take all these pictures, so we'd have this wonderful, beautiful Christmas picture. And so we all got this arranged, and we started to take the pictures. What I want to say to you tonight, that 168 pictures later, I'm not kidding, because I went back to him, because he's in our church, and I had him to count the pictures that he took. 168 pictures later, we got the one picture that was good enough for Christmas. And you know what I mean, you know? Some dresses were up out of place, and some of the younger ones had these incredible goofy looks all over their face. Particular one young boy, my son's boy, Jared. He would put the strangest looks on his face that you could imagine. And picture after picture didn't work out. All we needed was for the pieces to come together. We needed those pieces to come together so we would finally have this beautiful picture. I didn't have it to bring here tonight, but I did even show it in our church. I wanted people to see and understand this. God is trying to put the pieces together. And when we get it, the fullness of Jesus will bring the glory of God. His presence begins to happen because we're all gifted with a little bit of him. And everybody is called to take their place. Have you ever noticed when you've done a jigsaw puzzle? When you're putting together a puzzle, it always seems when you come to the end of the thing, there's one piece that's missing, one piece that got lost. I remember through the years of doing that over and over again, we had a missing piece. All we have to do is find that and put the thing together. Well, I believe for this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 to be fulfilled that God gave us answers here. And I want all of you to hear this tonight because it's really important. Number one is found in verse 1 where it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, some people would like to think that that means we're talking about just the fivefold ministry gifts of pastors, prophets, and evangelists, and teachers, and so on that are mentioned here in this chapter. But it's not just talking about the leaders in the church. It's talking about every person that walks the walk with Jesus. Every one of you in this room tonight are called with a calling. The reason he saved you and redeemed you and brought you to the place that you are is because he had a calling for you. And he wants you to fulfill that calling. When every person understands it and enters into it, that's when we walk in what Jesus has for us. That's why tonight we needed to understand the calling that's on these worship leaders. God very powerfully tonight ordained this so that Bob and Lorraine would be seen in their gifting. And we would understand and know that this is a very special thing that God has ordained for us to walk in. And we need to be excited with the fact that God has given everybody a gift. And it says here he gave you a calling. You know, I used to speak all the time because I'm involved with pastors and leaders that the calling is to those that only lead the church. But the calling is not just to those that lead the church. It's to every person that's saved by the name of Jesus. You're called to make a difference. And if you believe in that calling, things begin to prosper. Because it's him. He's the one that gives the gift. He made you the way you are. He put those beautiful traits within you. And every one of you tonight need to know how special you are for the purposes of God. And he knew exactly what he wanted to do when he brought you to Jubilee. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's gone wrong over the last few years. God still has a plan for your gift to prosper here if you'll believe in it. And nothing can stop that from coming to pass. Your gift is so important to the glory of God. And my prayer is that we'll understand this. Because even in the gifting, then we begin to know the miracles that God begins to bring. Miracles take place because of Jesus. He's the one that has defeated the enemy. And as we walk in those giftings, things begin to happen. So this first point that I want you to see is important for you to understand. Know your calling. Your calling is extremely important in the purposes of God. Now, number two is this in verse 2. Can you read it with me, everybody? If you have your Bibles open there, just read it aloud. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Let's go back and say that again. Say it this way. With long suffering. Okay, let's try that again. With long suffering. Bearing with one another in love. That means putting up with one another. We learn to put up with one another. When the stones are rubbing together, when the friction takes place, this is how we join. Most people don't want to get committed in church work because they're afraid of that joining. They want to keep themselves a little bit off and a little bit aloof, but they will never see the great purposes that God wants to bring until we understand the importance of being long-suffering with one another. Thank you that you've been long-suffering with me for these many years, Pastor Ralph. Long-suffering is so important. So my second point is this. This is what I called it. Be nice. Turn to somebody and say, be nice. This is important that we are nice. Can I be real honest with you and say it tonight that it's taken 65 years for me to walk in this the way that I should? Because it's easy sometimes to not be what we need to be. And this is why the church is not working in what it should work in. I've asked God to more and more help me be nice. My wife, you know, everybody says Pastor Paul is a very fatherly person, and I'm grateful for all the things that they see in our lives and all that's going on, and he's just such a nice man. I said to my wife one day, you're the only one that knows the truth. We are called to get along. We're not called to change churches every 3 months. We will never grow. I'm not looking for a move of God in one great place in our city. I'm expecting a move of God in every church. I think Canada is so close to this. And the prophecy that Dr. David Cho gave over the nation is that we are going to lead in this to the world. When Canada sees the awakening that God has promised, in every place, God wants to bring the glory. It's being spoken now everywhere that we go again. And I just know that God has it for here. Because he wants you to walk in this. So practice being nice, will you? Practice being kind and gentle. Practice having a good spirit that's filled with the love of God. This is so important. So number one, know your calling. Number two, be nice. Okay? Number three, read it with me, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the saints in the bond of peace. Now, unity is so important. You know, right next week we have a convention with the Open Bible Faith Fellowship with Pastor Rick and Kathy Shimatero in Windsor, and CFCM, a group that we were a part of for many years, is going to join us. I think this is so amazing. We never saw a lot of this happen before. I just had two pastors that phoned me and said, Pastor, the reason I'm calling and I want to talk to you again, and they had talked to me several years ago, was because we heard that something is happening in unity. Someone believes what the Scripture says. Now, what I learned after many, many years, that you can't make unity. One of the worst prayers I think we could pray when we have this revelation is, oh God, make us one. We can't have him make us now what he's already done. What our calling is to keep the unity. And there's where the test comes in. We must be keeping it and working at it. And it's not easy sometimes. I've learned in my life, carrying the spirit that I carry, that I make far more phone calls to people than they ever make to me. In fact, I get very few. Because I work in the area of agreement and unity to bring the church together for God's purpose. And sometimes I want to get upset and not be so nice. And say, when you guys don't call me, I'm not going to call you again. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he says, but I've called you to be what you are. Now, if we would do what God wants us to do, we will change everything. And so we keep the unity. Even if some people leave our church, even if things don't go real well, we keep a spirit of unity, and we're always bringing people together. I'm real excited about this convention that's coming up in Windsor, because they say that there's close to 100 that are coming from CFCM. This is amazing, Bob and Lorraine. And I know there's been all kinds of issues and all kinds of stuff, but who cares about the issues? What's important is that Jesus' love and his purpose is fulfilled in us. So he calls us to keep unity. I pray in Jesus' name that you believe will keep the unity. That those of you that understand this thing will walk in it, and you'll talk about it, because it has to do with getting us to the place where the fullness of Jesus manifests and the church really does what it's meant to do. This is why we need unity tomorrow night. I'm not saying these things just for the sake of saying it, because I would like to see everybody come out just because maybe Pastor Paul is here. That has nothing to do with it. I feel it's important that this church stands in agreement. And when we stand in agreement for unity, for miracles, things begin to happen. Because it's the fullness of Jesus. Jesus is the head. We all together are the body in the earth. You by yourself are not just the body. The body is all of us walking together. So when every gift is moving together by the grace of God, the fullness of the body of Christ manifests. Miracles begin to happen. This is what we saw in the charismatic renewal. Some didn't enter into it, but those that did, the more of us that entered into walking together, more things began to happen. I even started to love some born-again Catholics. I was so young, people, I hardly, you know, I just saw people loving God. So I went to the basement of the Catholic Church, started to pray for everybody, and they started to get saved and filled with the Spirit, and we baptized them in swimming pools. I started to love people. God's no respecter of persons. And He wants to do something very special when we walk in agreement. But we must keep it. We don't have to make it. I learned this the hard way, Brother Peter. Trying to make unity happen. You can't make it happen because God already has done it. We are saved by the same blood. Right? Some of you are looking at me funny. You know that we all are together already. What we have to do is keep it together. And to do it with peace. Sense of peace. I sense peace on us tonight by the grace of God. So here's the keys to what God wants us all to be fulfilled in verses 15 and 16. Number one, we know our calling and our gifting. Number two, we're nice. Number three, we keep unity. Everybody say amen. Amen. Number four, verse four, read it with me. For there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. You might as well read verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You might as well read verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here's my fourth point. You must know the power of one. Because God needs us to understand this. Most of the world works in the power of two. Money begins to advance and grow, and most people are all caught up in this because of how quickly things multiply. You know how it goes. 2 times 4 is 8. You know, and you double 8 and you have 16, and double 16 you have 32, and double 32 you have 64, and double 8 you have 128. It's only a short time that you have a massive amounts of numbers. And that's how the world looks at multiplication. You see, and they use number two all the time. It's kind of a pun. I hope you didn't catch that. But anyway, they use it all the time. And God wants us to understand the power of one. Why He wants us to understand the power of one is because one cannot be divided. Two can be divided. One times one is one. Say it again. One times one is one. That's the end of it. And this is God's way of working. We are already one. There was a beautiful song that the worship team was singing tonight. I hope maybe we can sing it at the end again. But one voice. I thought God was trying to speak in that to what He's trying to say here tonight. We are one. That's why we can't make unity. We have to keep it. In our amazing love for one another. I loved it at the men's meeting this morning when some caught it from the night before and put their arm around me and said, Pastor, I love you, and I really do. There's a spirit of love that's filling Jubilee, and God wants you to understand the power of it because it comes from Him. We must understand the power of one. Hallelujah. And He makes it so clear in the Word, I find it hard to see how people miss this. Don't you? Look at it here. There's one body. There's one Spirit. You are called with one hope, which is His plan for us. In the calling. There's one Lord. One faith. One baptism. And please understand that one baptism is talking of baptism into Christ. It's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's talking of baptism in Christ. In those days there were many different forms of baptism. And all he was saying, there's one baptism into Christ. And we need to know our place in Him. So there's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who's above all and through you all and in you all. Notice God's above us. And listen, he sees right through you. So he moves through you and touches others. But beyond that, he's in you all the time. This is so awesome. About the greatness of the one God that works in us. Even in understanding the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's understanding the fullness of God in us. And it's an amazing thing. It's so important for us to understand the power of being one. And live by it in our church. And walk in it all the days of our lives by God's grace and power. Amen. Okay, the next one is in verse 7. Read it with me, everyone. But to each one of us, grace was given. Read that. Just read that again now. I want you to get that. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given. Given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So your grace or your gifting is given. And it here is in past tense. He's given it to you. The day you were born again by the Spirit of God, he gave you your grace. He gave you your gift. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. It's a measure of who he is. But here's the difficulty. You see, if someone gives me something, if Pastor Ralph was to give me this Bible and hand it to me, and I say to him, no, I don't want it. By not my not receiving the gift, I don't receive him. To not receive somebody's gift is not to receive them. So when Jesus gives the gifts, if we don't receive them, who do we not receive? Christ himself. Because he sees the beauty of the expression of all he is and all his people. So he wants us to believe in the gifts and understand them and walk in it by his grace. It's so important for us to understand that as we see it here in the word of the Lord. But the thing I want you to see in this verse 7 is that he just doesn't give the gifts to the leaders. That's not what it says here. He's not talking about yet the leaders. He's talking about every person, but to each one. Is that saying just Pastor Ralph? Is that just saying Pastor Paul? It's not saying that. It's saying to each one is given a gift. Now, this is how great churches work. It's everywhere. I see it all over the world. And we're slow grabbing onto it in our understanding in the North American church simply because of some of the traditional background. But gifts are given to everybody. And I want to honor it because it's him. That's why I love people so much. And that's why I love everybody in this church, because you are special gifts for the purposes of God. It's an amazing thing. So, number 5, we must know our gifts are from him. Everybody say that with me, would you? Know our gifts are from him. That's important for us to see. Therefore, he says. You know, when the therefore is there, we ask what it's there for. Right? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. I love the revelation in the Word of God. That Jesus made a show of every demon spirit openly when he went to the cross. He's not waiting to defeat demons. There's not going to be a second power that comes from God to defeat demons. Come on, are you all agreeing with me on this? There's not another force that will get it done. I think some people think that when he returns, he's going to give us another power. He's returning, but he's not going to give us another power. The power is only in the cross. It's in the cross of Jesus and the shed blood that Satan has been defeated. So, as we celebrate on Easter, when Jesus died on the cross for those 3 days, we know according to the scripture that he went to hell. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. And it was there that he totally took rulership over Satan and the evil forces. We need to say this loud and clear, because as long as we keep fearing hell and Satan and demons, we will be defeated. Their whole power of destroying us and working against us is deception. And they try to deceive us into believing they have more power than they do. They have been defeated. And the forces that have been coming against this church, I declare tonight, in Jesus' name, are under our feet because of what Jesus did. It's at the cross that the victory came. So he pays the price. The blood was shed. Jesus was crucified. He died. He said it is finished. This is why I love those movies like I talked about last night, The Son of God or something, where it clearly, clearly shows what took place. He paid the price. It's all done. Finished. The price of redemption was done. And then he went to hell. I'm glad that Jesus went to hell. Jesus. No wonder we sing like we sang tonight about him. And we love him so much in our spirit because he's defeated hell for us. He conquered death and he conquered the grave. We just go from life to life. No Christian should fear death. We should understand and know that we live, we live, we live because he's alive. And because of that, we can have all victory. So, he goes to hell. As I shared with you a little bit last night, and why I brought it to my spirit again tonight, is that this is exactly what the scripture says that happened here. See? When he ascended on high, this is after it says in verse 9, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. So when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. So that means they don't have to be captivated again. The forces of hell are already captivated. So they're lined up. They're lined up behind them. I can see this long, long chain gang with all the demons of hell lined up behind Jesus as he prays them up. And he shows them their defeat. But then he looks at every spirit of darkness. I'm convinced he would look at the devil right in his face. And he says, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give gifts to people. And that won't change. Gifts are given to people. That's why the devil hates your gift. That's why he tries to make you feel you're less than who you are. He tries to make you feel you're not important. He tries to make you feel that you're not successful. He tries to make you feel that you're not good looking, and you are. He tries to make you feel that you're something less than what you are. And most people in their Christian walk are defeated because of the lie of the enemy about their gift. The reason the enemy does that is because he's fearful of you knowing your gifts. And when I learned this in my life, I don't have to be what anyone else is. I used to think that I was going to be a Billy Graham. And I thought the only way that I can do the great works of God is if I am this person that everybody looks to more than anyone else. That has nothing to do with it. I've learned over my life that it has nothing to do with anything. What I have to understand is who I am and be who I am. I've had to learn this about being a father in the church. I've had all kinds of people say to me, who do you think you are in that? Well, there's all kinds of people that don't believe in my gift. But what would happen if I don't believe in my gift? Our whole life is understanding that. Because it's those gifts that defeat Satan. The work of the cross did it, but Jesus said this is how it will manifest. And I could see Satan getting all upset, every demon of hell getting all upset. all of a sudden saying, oh, no, 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 don't do it that way. And Jesus just says, shut up. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give gifts to my precious people. And you're not only going to be defeated because of the things that I've done at the cross, but because of the manifestation of the glory of the cross in my people understanding who they are, there will be victory. I'm so glad that God has gifted you. And I want that gift to prosper like never before. I pray that it will really work in Jubilee. And everybody will understand who they are. You guys that were in that kitchen there today, making a beautiful breakfast for us, are gifted in what you are doing. Everything is important to God's plan. And we need to put this into our children, the young people, and everybody. And I think when they understand it, there'd be far less walking away from who they are. Because they understand their importance in the plan for the glory of God. That's how it's going to be done. Because that's what the Word of God says. Now, I think, what am I at? About verse, or point number 7, which would be found in verse number 6. Okay, number 5. Number 6. Know that Jesus defeated Satan is what number 6 is. Okay? By giving gifts to men. Number 7. Know that Jesus gave the leadership gifts. Now, this causes some issues. You see, but we need to see this in the Word of God. Verse 11. Could you read this aloud with me, everybody? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave leadership gifts. Now, wouldn't it be awful if God tried to lead the church with no leadership gifts? You know, there'd be chaos. There has to be leadership gifts. And some people say, well, I wish he gave me that gift and not someone else, but he didn't. He called this man to pastor.
Yes.
And someone says, well, I don't like that. Well, Jesus says, well, I gave the gift. You didn't. These gifts come from me. Someone would say, well, Lord, you could have called a better person that has more qualities than him. Jesus says, I love his qualities. And I'm going to use him because I've gifted him in what he is. I do this, not you. Most people in the church think they hire pastors. It's a terrible thing. It ruins the church. They don't hire pastors. Pastor Rick, one of his best friends right now in Windsor, is just going through this. He came back from a 3-month sabbatical, one of his pastor friends, one of the largest churches in Windsor. He comes back from a 3-month sabbatical, and the church leadership says to him, you're fired. It's incredible. And they literally think that they hire them. Leadership gifts come from Jesus. He places leadership in the church. And we need to understand this. And just enjoy it. So these gifts that are listed here are given by him. That's why Jesus is trying to restore them in the church. And I'm convinced when they're more restored, we will have more power. Now I say this very humbly, very, very humbly tonight. When I looked at what Wendy had put on Facebook about our meeting here this week, she wrote in there, Apostle Paul Uke. And I felt like saying, I'm going to call her and tell her to take that off there. But then I sat there for a while, and God said to me, didn't I tell you to believe who you are? What I've done in you? And that's just one. God wants us to understand that these gifts come from God. Jesus is the giver of the leadership gifts. When the church understands this, that's when it prospers. Everybody says amen? Okay, number 8 then. Know what leaders are called for. Is this okay? Verse 12. This is what leaders are called to do and nothing else. For equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, number one. Read that with me, everybody. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That's number one. And number two, for edifying of the body of Christ. Done. That's what they're supposed to do. Leaders are called to equip and build the church up. Leaders are not called to constantly be condemning and pulling the people down. They are called to build the church up and to recognize the gifts that are in the people that God has given them. So they must equip and build up. Equip and build up. Equip and build up. Equip and build up. So that everybody can do the work of the ministry. But a lot of people think we hire the pastor to do the work. Right? So we hire him to do what all of our gifts are called to fulfill. The church will never be what verse 15 and 16 is. Because all we have is a working pastor. I've seen this all my life. People always wanting me to be something else. And to do everything. I ran around in my early years of ministry and my tongue was hanging out like a dog. Going everywhere in everybody's house. Doing everything that I could do. Everybody called me to be everywhere. And I really think that some of the things I've walked through in my life to help with the church the last little while, where I've been weakened a little bit physically in my flesh, is to make me understand what God's ways are. We're not called to be everything. We're just called to equip and build up so that everybody can be used. And this is what God wants to do here at this great church by the glory of God. Now, when we get all these things together, I believe that we'll see what I started with is in verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is where we'll really see the miracles. And I believe that God wants to do it even this weekend as we stand together and believe Him for miracles, recognizing everybody's gift by the grace of God. I enjoyed the Olympic Games this year, just watching some of it, because some of the Canadians did really good. I thought it was great when the Canadian hockey team beat everybody in the world. I was up there just having a whale of a time, just enjoying myself so much. The reason I was, because I'd listened before how everybody said that the United States of America and Sweden had a far better team than Canada. I knew this was going to backfire on them. Because you can't tell a Canadian hockey player that somebody is better than them. That just gets to their spirit. And I love to watch that. When they literally, in my mind, made a show of those other teams. They outplayed them in every game. The only team that came close to beating them was that Lafayette team, remember? But that was only because they had one good goalie. The shots so outnumbered them. But some of it was so great. I loved some of the things that took place where the figure skating stars had done their part. I felt so sorry for what was the guy that this figure skater. Do you remember his name? Well-known. Patrick Chan. Is it? Patrick Chan. I felt so sorry for him. I lived his life. How they practiced for 4 years. And he was supposed to win the gold, eh? And I felt so sorry for him. He had everything together, should have done it. And when he fell, I fell 1,000 times with him. Do you know what I mean? You just kind of feel the gifting that they're carrying. But seeing we're from Saskatchewan, I was actually born in Sarnia, Ontario, but I was raised in Alberta, Saskatchewan. And my wife does come from Saskatchewan, so we are from that, and we call ourselves Westerners because of it originally. But because I came from Saskatchewan, I learned to curl Now, a lot of Ontarians, they don't even like to watch curling because it seems so boring. But to me, when I understand it, it is amazing because it's such a team sport. And I loved when the Canadian women's curling team beat the whole world. I thought that was absolutely electric. But then it got more special when the men did the same thing. And they came from Ontario. I'm just enjoying this so much because I understand the game of curling. See, the game of curling is won by the team. The team has to win it together. There has to be that working together. You see, when the person that's taking the shot, or let's say the skip is taking the shot, when he lets the shot go, he's calling out from the beginning where it's going and if it's in line or not. But when it gets so far, the two that are sweeping, and I've swept a lot in my life, the two that are sweeping begin to call how fast it's going. And so they know whether they should sweep harder or sweep less. And they shout out to one another as the thing's going down the rink. And then when it gets further down, the one that's standing at the end, usually the third, he's looking back. He's looking back, and he begins to yell out how fast it should be done. And they can take a 47-pound stone and land it on a button that big because the team pulls together. Team sport to me is awesome when you understand it. But that game to me is very special because I learned to play it for many years when we were in Western Canada. And it's the team effort that brings about the purposes of God. It's how God works. And God wants us to pull together. I felt some of the things that happened at the Olympics was a sign this year of what's coming in Canada. For the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up in all the giftings that God has given us and conquer by the grace of God because we so believe in one another. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, Frieda, for all these years of us believing in one another. And the best is yet to come. We are about to see the breakthrough like never before. And it's going to come through many of these young people, too, as we use our gift to lead them on and encourage them. Come on, we stand up there and say, you know, go for it, go for it, go for it. Maybe we can't run like you now, but we can sure shout. And we say, stand up, come on and do it. To the kids who are raising up in kids' church, come on, run, 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 run. Get it done for God. The end is not yet for Jubilee Faith Center. The glory of God wants you to rise up and be all that God wants you to be. This is the day that the Lord hath made for this church. Let's come alive in it in God's grace. And know that as we move together, we can fulfill this. Amen. Let this spirit of the gifting that's been in the ones that have stayed here for so many years prosper now in the name of Jesus. You are such a team to the glory of God. Hallelujah. My wife doesn't like me saying this, but over that Olympic season, there was a couple times that she made me laugh real hard because she started to use the word yippee. And this is not like her. She says yay a lot. But there were a couple times when some prominent wins took place. Her and I would be just sitting there in the house together. And she said, yippee! And everything in me got excited. I believe for us it's time to say yippee! Yippee! We win! By the grace of God, if we'll rise up in all the giftings and fulfill God's glory. It's by understanding this that we'll move in the miracles that we're expecting tomorrow night. Because the miracles are not just in a few. The miracles are in everyone. That's why that card is important to everyone in this church at this season. Don't you sense it's a new season for Jubilee? Did you sense the new season in worship tonight? Hallelujah.